Well, God's grace and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of all of our sins. Our text, as we continue through this amazing movement of God's grace in our lives, is now going to come to us from John chapter 13. And we're getting to all these different facets of grace along the way. And of course, there's that application of God's grace coming into us. And today we get a little bit of a movement of how we live out God's grace in our daily lives, in the lives of other people. So hopefully you can get blessed on this. But I want to share our text here from just a little bit from John. And it's very familiar to us. And it's going to come to us again, I think, in Lenten season. It says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you." Now, this is a unique little thing from Jesus on that night in which he's betrayed, where he washed all the feet of the disciples. Now, remember just who this Jesus is. We're the Epiphany season. Our readings are designed to let us know who this God is about. Our Old Testament, there's going to be one, a prophet that's going to be raised up amongst your people. These are the foods that you should and shouldn't eat as God shares them and blesses them with us. Now, this is the one who takes out demons. Even the underworld knows that Jesus is the Holy Son of God. They know all about him. And now this is the God whom all angels should praise, all the company of hosts on earth and heaven, above and below the earth. Glorify and magnify his glorious name, and he stoops down with a basin and washes our feet. The dirt in which we trod in, the bunions and the corns and all the things that get wrong with our feet that make him just not right. Jesus loves the feet of his people, and he washes them as an example to us. But let's get into this just a little bit. What does Jesus do with promise breakers? What does he do with people that break his law, that disobey his teachings? Well, let's just look at the one big example of Peter. Peter was doing his thing, of course. "I will never speak out against you. I will never deny you. I would have my life taken before than I ever deny you." And of course, then Jesus responds to him, "Peter, I know you think you're all that and so wonderful and that you're God's gift to the rest of the disciples, but guess what? Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter's just like dumbfounded, how can this be? And of course, we know the story so well that in the courtyard, there's the triple denial, and there's the second cock crowing, and there Jesus and Peter's eyes meet. What does Jesus do with people who break their promises? He washes their feet. He knew it was going to come down. He knew it was going to happen. But yet, he, in grace, comes and washes the feet. That's what he does. He knew all what was going to be wrong, all that was going to be turned upside down. Here, the great denier of the great disciples, the one who steps out and walks on the water to go towards Jesus, the one who pulls out the sword is going to cut the ear off Malchus. Here he is. Jesus knows all of his sin, and he washes his feet. Even before they were going to happen, Jesus has a security of our faith and our sins and our eternal life all wound up in his washing away of our sin with his great love. But let's go a little deeper. What about our friend Judas? Judas with a kiss, are you kidding me? Judas with all the clubs and the torches? Judas, what you need to do, go and do it quickly. Take your money bag with you, that's fine. Jesus saw all what was going to happen to himself. The one who should be in heaven on a throne now is cast away for some money. Jesus saw it all going down, all what was going to happen, and he washes Judas's feet. Grace moving in where you least expect it. Jesus is that great author of grace in situations where it should not be, where it's least expected. the world, we have that slow anger on boil that's soon to erupt. Or do we act in grace with the towel and the basin? The world is going to shout. The world is going to push and shove. The world is going to try and do what it needs to do best. But remember how the world acts. It wants to make things happen in the lives of other people so that they benefit themselves. That's what politics really is all about. Grace is stepping in and giving up for the sake of someone else. It turns it upside down. Grace is backwards to what our sinful nature, the devil, and the world are all about. Grace is the other direction. Grace is sacrificing oneself so that others would be blessed. It's our spiritual act of worship, is gracing the lives of other people, whether they deserve it or not. That's the example that Jesus gives. Peter, you shouldn't receive any grace at all. Judas, certainly not. Even the casting out of Satan from heaven, rather than eternal elimination, was a grace event. God's grace comes upon us and it grabs us and it moves us to be people of grace. Not that slow boiling anger that's going to erupt and give people what for, but the grace of God that touches the lives of other people. When we look at our own lives, are we gracing them? Are we giving them what they really shouldn't deserve? Or are we boiling over with denial and breaking of God's laws? Jesus simply says, here's the example. I become empty so that you become filled. I become dirty so that you can be washed clean, whiter than snow. I take on your sin that we have an eternity together. It's an example of what Jesus has exactly have done for us. We who had no hope, he filled us with great hope. We who had no love, he bestowed love upon us. We who have never tasted grace now are the givers of God's great grace. Because he's the example of how we are to live this out. Now, here's a lady, you may remember her, Victoria Ruvolo, and I'm not knowing that, but she lived on Long Island. And she was driving along, doing her own thing, minding her own business, and another car comes along in the other direction, and from the back seat of that car is hoisted out a frozen turkey, smashes through her window, bends the steering wheel with such force into her, causing her to be months and months in the emergency room, surgery after surgery, to try and bring her life back to a little bit of normalcy. And she recently passed away in 2019 and has kind of made it back into the news just a little bit as well. But what she did in her life was an act of grace. Rather than having her life changed forever and ever through those circumstances, she went to the judge and said, "What is the leanest possible sentence you can have for this guy?" Went to the DA. What can we do to really reduce everything possible so this person that has done this terrible event can receive grace and understand what love truly is, maybe for the first time in his life? And through her strong efforts of grace upon grace, it was all reduced to the most minimal time served in a few months. And when that was given, they crossed paths in the courtroom. And there, not unlike the prodigal son, Victoria grasped him and hugged him and held him. Whatever words were spoken in his ear, we may never know, but I can only imagine that it was a grace event in the lives of this young man, not thrown into the system to become a hardened criminal in the depths of a prison for year after year, but given the opportunity of grace, rather than shoved aside for an eternity, someone came into his life with a basin and washed. She stunned the world. She stunned the judge. Stunned the DA, stunned her own family, stunned the community, stunned everyone watching with a grace event. Not nearly as remarkable as God's grace upon you, but stunning indeed. We too, when God's grace comes upon us, we're stunned. Lord, are you kidding me? Look at my track record. Look at what I've done. Look at my words. Look at my life. Look what I have done. And you're stunning me with more grace? And that's the beauty of how it is. Grace has shaped her life just as grace shapes our life. And we too have these abilities in situations where we can let the anger boil up and try and give people what for because I'm not being served the way I like to be served. Or we can stun people. When's the last time in your life where you've seen or someone has just been stunned by an amazing act of grace, either through you or through someone else? That's the church at its best, when grace arrives in you. Victoria's basin filled with love and grace for someone else. We look into our own basin and our own towel. Is it grace-filled or demand-filled? We in the church, of course, follow the way of grace. The beautiful song of Matthew 10, freely, freely you have received. All singing by the pastor is grace, right? And so we freely give because we have received this grace upon us. That is the beauty of this whole grace. It's not stagnant where it stays in one spot. When grace has arrived, it now multiplies into the lives of others because it has impacted us in such an amazing way that grace goes into the lives of one another. So we ask what truly is in our basin. What truly are we working and dealing with in a loving and grace-filled way? Jesus, of course, stunned the world. He stunned Pontius Pilate. He stunned the guards. He stunned the man who simply was guarding there at the cross. Truly, this is the Son of God. He stunned his own family. He stunned the disciples. He stunned the Pharisees. It goes on and on and on. And when he washed our feet and he made them wet with his grace, we too are stunned in an amazing way. Lord, you look at me and save me. You've given me the pure forgiveness of sins with life and salvation. You give me baptism and the body and blood, your sacred and holy word. You have stunned me with such an amazing, wonderful grace. I scarce can take it in. It is so amazing. Jesus has stunned the world with his grace. And now they see the continuation of this stunning grace in you and I, being God's grace in our situations. Looking at our emails and saying, is this grace-filled? Looking at how we talk and care for one another, is this grace-filled or am I offering something else? Am I taking on the way of the world or am I being Jesus in these situations because of Jesus in me? Grace changes who we are and how we live and how we act in our relationships. We do not reflect the way of the world. We are the way of God because he sent his Son for us to grace us into everlasting life, to be his dear people of goodness, innocence, righteousness, blessedness, giving his grace in amazing ways, because we saw him on the cross in our place and delivered life to you and I. In Jesus' name, amen.